Today's guest is Danica Tynes, PhD and founder of the Sustainable Access Foundation. What I loved most about our conversation was the level of humanity that Danica brought to business and the holistic approach and view that she had. Now, although formerly a organizational psychologist, starting the Sustainable Access Foundation was something that Danica knew had to be done because there are parts of the world, like Uganda, developing communities that simply lack the access and infrastructure that many of us, even in the States alone, have access to when we want to pursue our entrepreneurial ambitions. So as you listen to the conversation, you hear a very worldly view about what needs to be done, about what can be done, and how we can get involved. At the same time, there are the bigger questions about how we're viewing ourselves in corporate culture in a modern world that becomes more and more globalized every day. We even dive into technology and its impact, where it's currently heading, and how that may change the very face of what it is that we do on a daily basis. Suffice it to say that this conversation got deep and fast, and it's one I don't think you want to miss. I'm confident that at almost every step of the way, you're going to wish you were here in the room to contribute to the conversation as the ideas were flowing, because it's simply that kind of conversation. It's not just about business. It's about the humanity in business as people, as individuals, and the development of a community. So without further ado, Danica Tynes, you have an interesting energy about yourself. It's very intentional, and I mean that in the best sense. Now, I know it's a strange place to start when it's a show about entrepreneurship, but I want to know, were you always this way just by default as your personality, or was there a time when intentionality wasn't part of your everyday life?
I tend to stand in survival mode, having been raised poor, with lack of access to my own resources, which is one of the reasons why, at this point, I started Sustainable Access Foundation. Oftentimes we want to contribute and provide support in areas where we ourselves did not have support. Right. And so many foundations are born out of our own wounds, and I'm no exception. And so I think much of my intentionality and groundedness has come from studying the wounds of the world. I'm an organizational psychologist, and so I get to do that in business as well. And so I think intentionality has just come from observing, from hurting, from awakening, from striving, from getting back up again. And then, yeah, I think it's something, intentionality is something I've cultivated. I remember a time when I was just living life by default, if people would offer me a job, I would just be grateful that someone saw me, right? And then there's a point in time where you're not just surviving, you're not just trying to, one of my favorite ways of putting it is, you're not just trying to get that sleep good money anymore, right? Once the electric bills are paid, now what? And who do you want to be? And so, yeah, I think that intentionality is something that's cultivated, and you have to be intentional about it.
Yeah, no, very, very reminiscent of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, in the sense where many, and to be fair, I come from a very similar place where survival mode is pretty much the norm. And so a lot of the ambition is tied around that idea. And you're right. What happens when that's no longer part of your everyday experience? Where will you find the sustainability, the sustenance, right? Am I understanding correctly that that's what you mean by sustainability? Or can you go a little further into how you see sustainability for the Sustainable Access Foundation?
Yeah, so the reason sustainability is important to me, in addition to access, is because, so first, sustainability is a big term now. Everybody is using sustainability to refer to like environmental consciousness. Right. right? And governance and this type of thing. And so there absolutely is that aspect, and that's what I teach. In addition, sustainability is just its natural term, not applied to something in the world, but the natural term of sustainability is, can it last? And I'm a systems thinker. And so I'm not that interested in tactical solutions, more big picture strategic. And when it comes to where we are in the world, I don't know if you feel it, but I feel it every day, that there's this like low level vibration, that there's just something not quite right. You know, I feel like everyone's feeling it, with mental health on the rise and so forth. And so can we find this sustainable access? And I thought it was, how can we create lasting change for more people where we don't have to be survivors? Because there's plenty in the world, right? There's plenty. And so what is keeping us from tapping into our own access? And so access to me at first was about access to resources and so forth. And now I'm coming to the realization it's also access to yourself, to your being. And so sustainability to me is actually really multifaceted. It's not just, you know, sustaining the environment so we can be here longer, because we do want to be here longer, and without the planet, all the rest of this stuff doesn't matter. And then sustainability, like if we're going to ignite change, let's make it lasting change. Let's not keep going backwards. And what we see happening in the world are things like charity. Like nobody wants charity. I mean, you said you came from humble beginnings. Myself as well. I never wanted anyone to give me anything. Like, please don't, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want you to give me anything. Just give me a shot to prove I can do it, you know? And so sustainability to me is like, don't just give me that fish, like teach me how to do it, but even go one step further. And Trevor Noah said this in his book. I thought it was a great quote. Go one step further, and then also give me the bait and the tackle, you know. And so it's not just, so that's the little access piece, is don't just teach me how to do it and then say good luck, you know, but then also it's like, just give a little nurturing and a little love, and then give me the tools that I can actually become proficient at that, and now it's become sustainable. So long answer, but sustainability to me is creating lasting change. And so for me, my model with Sustainable Access Foundation is that we don't do charity. We invest in entrepreneurs, and we invest in communities by listening to what their access points are, not mine. I don't go and be prescriptive in any community, but just let them share what their journey is, what their purpose is. I'm a fan of the book, The Alchemist. That's like, I live my life by that. You know, talking about intentionality. And I do believe everybody has their own purpose. I feel like everyone walks into this world with their own magic and medicine. But not everyone is given the ability to tap into that. So I guess now I'm in the business of creating containers for young people, for entrepreneurs, you know, safe containers that are like low risk, and, you know, let them play and come up with their ideas. And I mentor them through it into, you know, longer lasting change.
I like that. You know, I, for a while I had taken some acting courses, and one of the things that I took away from it was the idea of an acting course is a very safe place to do a dangerous thing, which is to explore facets of the human dynamic, the personality that you probably aren't accepted in everyday normal situations. And so having that freedom to take those risks psychologically in acting or in business in particular, which is predominantly a psychological game, right? It's an inside game more than anything. There are certain fundamentals and mechanics, like you said, as a systems thinker, I'm sure you've seen those, but that psychological safety, especially when you come from a place of survival mode, is so important. So do I understand correctly that that's what Sustainable Access Foundation as a philosophy is to create that space outside of the way those terms are used. Its core function is to create that psychological safety for young entrepreneurs.
Oh, I love that reflection. I haven't put it in that way, but I receive that. That lands. Yeah. So I was just this year in January, I was in Uganda and Tanzania. Wow. And I was pulling together groups of young entrepreneurs and, you know, one, we did this offsite with 22 entrepreneurs and they were all doing their pitches. And we started out each day, which is different than last year. I continued to evolve. And so I was talking about tapping into and accessing yourself. We would start each day by setting our intentions. And, you know, and then we would watch, you know, did these intentions come to fruition at the end of the day? And these young people were just blown away with the power of intention, you know, and we would start out by doing meditation and they'd all just be laid out in trance, you know. And so we would just do these sort of bubbles of meditation to really tap into yourself, into your essence, and then bring that into the work that they want to do. And so it wasn't just about, you know, building your business. It was also, who are you bringing into your business? What are you thinking about in your business? How intentional are you being? How are you treating people that you work with? How are you treating the farmers that are your resources that are, you know? And so when we left, what the conversation was, it was less about becoming a better entrepreneur. And it was more that they were just so happy to have found grounding in themselves, so then they can go out and do the hard work into the world. And so the these entrepreneurs dubbed themselves the Billionaires Club. Oh. And I don't know that any of these businesses will be $1 billion. However, they felt like $1 billion.
You got to get there first, right? Yeah.
You know, and that was, to me, I walked away like, okay, I didn't expect that, just because so much in the United States in particular, we don't bring more spiritual conversation. We don't bring more intentional conversation, into our classrooms, into our businesses. And, I think that's a huge mistake. Like I said, I just think that right now we're all lacking a sense of identity, a sense of grounding, and we're looking for it no matter what. COVID, I think, created this like separateness amongst us, you know, and I think we're trying to find our way right now. So, you know, I feel like the conversations we're having are trite when there's like bigger things to be concerned about, which is like, how are we going to be here for longer?
Yeah.
How do we have two wars? And, you know, why is there still racism? It's like, it's distracting. Frankly, it's just distracting from the work that we really have to do. And not to diminish those things and how tough they are, but it's like, who's orchestrating all this, you know? And so I, in many ways, I just want to, I think community is going to be our way. Focusing on the strength of community is going to be our way towards, you know, evolution and evolution of our consciousness.
I dig it. You know, there's a statistic and I can't recall the source of it, so you'll have to forgive me. I ask for your forgiveness there. But I remember reading, this was maybe about 3 years ago during the pandemic. So just prior to it kicked off. So actually maybe four. And the statistics said that 1 in 4 Americans didn't have a confidant, someone they could trust, a friend in that, on that level. And to know that we went into a global pandemic where that was the case, only further solidifying people from feeling ostracized in society and what that does. We want to talk about psychological safety, and no business is an island. Business is a part of an ecology of other businesses, right? That all serve a function as part of the value chain. So for me, I do understand where you're coming from with the need for community. And to know, it's no secret, many a leader, a world leader in particular, an American world leader, has said, they're after the soul of America this or the soul of America that. And you're right. As human beings, in particular, holistically, we do have a spiritual side to us. Whether we engage it or not, whether we're actively searching or we've decided that isn't a part of me, it's still a part of you. Even an atheist believes in something, if you will, is what I'm getting at, right? To make the conversation equally meta in the way you were taking it. And so having that sense of clarity around what that is in your life and how you can build around it, I'm beginning to see the sort of complete picture of the work that you're doing to make and inspire the development of complete individuals. Because only when you have that kind of clarity as an individual of yourself can you truly be part of a community and serve in your highest power. Is this what I'm hearing?
1,000,000. You have a great way of reflecting back. Thank you. So yeah. So indeed, the psychological safety is absolutely core to our values and how we want to move in the world. And so what the foundation does is just that. It brings that container, it brings that love. Let me ask you, have you ever worked in like corporate America or an office or anything like that?
Very briefly, I somehow ended up actually in the complete opposite, always in a startup, always in a small mom and pop shop. Corporate America just didn't end up working out for me. Couldn't be there much long. Yeah.
Totally get it. But you've had that experience where you go to work and, you know, if someone says to you, you know, hey, I love you today. Thank you for that work. Would that make you feel weird?
It would certainly catch me off guard, especially because it's not the norm.
Yeah. And so when I go to work, you know, with the foundation, all these change makers I'm working with, different partners, our daily conversation is, I love you. Blessings, you know? Yeah. Like, why can't we say that to each other?
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, you know, there's a whole demographic of people that hear the phrase Merry Christmas and maybe they don't say it. There's a level of political correctness that tends to miss the important points when it matters to be politically correct. As with anything in excess, eventually the lines get blurred, right? I happen to think it would be lovely to be able to go to work and there's a culture of people trying to bring the light out in you and in these circumstances that surround us every day and are in and out at work. Why not? It's like turning on some good music and getting work done.
Yeah.
I totally am 100% behind that. I think sometimes people miss the point because they want control over circumstances and other people simply because they lack control over themselves in their own circumstances. But yeah, I don't, you know, this isn't about what I believe. I just wanted to share since we were there. I'm actually more curious, how are you open to people being involved in getting involved with the Sustainable Access Foundation? How does that work? How can people learn more, get involved, be a part of it? I just want to know that whole facet.
Yeah, 1,000,000. So part of our model is to accept volunteers. One of the things I found, I was in Silicon Valley and I hit it. I was like, I'm done. I need to go out and feel my impact. I had been working, you know, at the corporate level with executives, transforming organizations for 20 plus years. You know, doing great work, but felt very much ivory tower work, you know, it wasn't hands-on. And so, you know, when I caught my inspiration and I caught my awakening and I said, you know, let me move forward, you know, with this energy. And I forget what your question. Oh, can people get involved? So I wanted myself to touch and feel my impact. And so I thought, I bet there's more people who want to touch and feel their impact in the world, right? You're going to work every day. You're working really hard. It's very stressful. It's meetings, meetings, meetings. It's, you know, cranking it out, cranking it out, cranking it out. And like, what do you have to like touch and feel good about at the end of the day? Many of us, especially in corporate America, are working on things that we'll never even see come to fruition, by the time we leave that company. It's just we're part of the wheel. But like, what is your impact? And like I, you know, I was talking about our purpose, right? So I brought a few people with me when I left Silicon Valley who have said, we want to feel the way you feel. We want to be WhatsApping with Uganda every morning and telling people we love you. Like, why can't we have that in our lives too? So I actually have a project manager who's volunteering, used to work for NASA. He is having the most fun of his life, just mentoring on project management. And so just like, you know, once a week. And I also have interns from my PhD program in international development who are starting to participate so that they can get more hands-on. And so, yeah, I'm cultivating a space for people who want to touch and feel their impact to actually be hands-on with communities who are seeking guidance. And what I've found working in communities, it's so surprising when you really get to the conversation and say, what do you need? What is your access point? Very rarely is it money. It's very rarely money. And that goes to that whole charity piece again. It's usually something like, can you share your wisdom? You know? So if there are people out there who want to touch and feel their impact, who are feeling like they're lacking in something, who feel like there's something I want to be a part of, I want to contribute to, you know, we can always use some wisdom. We can always use an extra laptop. We can always use, because access is so broad and it means something different to everyone. So even, so I'm working with a huge faction of creatives in Uganda and Tanzania. So hip hop artists, graphic designers, clothing designers, and you know, in the creative community, there's oftentimes that you know, that kind of idea that you have to be a struggling creative, right? Which I reject. I reject the idea of a struggling creative. I feel like there's enough abundance in the world for all of us. It's just a matter of, first of all, changing that narrative. And then that there is plenty and nobody has to live in lack, and you don't have to be this, like, you know, this, you know, boozer on the street in order to put out something beautiful. That's not the energy. And so, you know, finding more ways to put the tools in the hands of these creatives. So we are partnering with, like I said, hip hop artists in Tanzania. We're putting out a documentary soon. Wow. That taps into the question of how can music raise the frequency of the collective consciousness? Just to raise awareness of how important music is, and especially music from Africa, towards, you know, you can think about how music really does transform, how when you're sad, you can go listen to your favorite song to, you know, uplift you, you know. And as we're moving through the world, the thing that comes up a lot for us is right now, I think we're just so heavy in our masculine energy that this creative feminine energy is something that has the power to heal us right now. And so everybody has feminine and masculine energy. It's not a gendered conversation, but this is the time when we need to be creative, right? And those are the only people I want to kick it with. I'll be honest. Like, I only want to kick it with people who understand how to be flexible, how to tap into their flow, because anything is going on now. I mean, you can have a natural disaster tomorrow, and it's like, you know, we have no control. Like, you're talking about control. We have no control over these things. There could be another war. There can be another coup. There could be a, right? This, everything's happening. And, but who are you in the center of that? Who are you? And where do you stand? And can you flow with that? And then do you bring the positive vibrations that we can raise beyond it and offer good solutions that are strategic, long-term, that aren't just tactical and practical for the moment, you know?
Yeah. I'm 100% understanding exactly where you're coming from. And I'm actually curious, now that we've set all that groundwork and knowing that you worked in organizational psychology at the corporate level. You were involved watching the way things were going, and you've since come to the other side of creating this sustainability and this access for people and giving them not only the mental frameworks and paradigm shifts they need to get into their bag, if you will, right? But also giving them the tools they need, whether it's quite literally technology or access to people who can get them on the right path and cut that learning curve in half. It sounds like a great organization. So having seen both of those spaces, a space where someone is truly hungry and they just never had the opportunity, and then other people who are part of this bigger conglomerate and don't see any access, have plenty of opportunity, but are so caught up in the day-to-day that they just don't have the fire in them anymore. When you see those two differences and you see what you're doing as an organizational psychologist today, which is why I can gather now, after having spoken to you a bit, why these bigger ideas at work in the world are so important to you, because of the systems thinking that you do, the organization, you are always looking at the bigger picture and know at a certain level that it's all connected and the culture across the board has to be unified in order for it to actually have the kind of impact that people want. But the people need long-term impact and they need immediate things they can touch and feel. So, long-winded question of saying, having been in the old space and where you are in the new space, with your background in organizational psychology, what would you say is the biggest difference that you've seen in terms of what people have access to? What exists outside of corporate world, of corporate life, that doesn't seem to exist anywhere else?
I'm going to be totally honest with you. It's authenticity. There's so many masks that we have to wear in corporate that we're not able to bring our full selves and our full contribution, our full value to the table. It's shut down at the door. It's just expectation of being someone else. When I go into a community in Uganda, they don't know how to wear a mask. They have no idea. They just know how to be honest. And it's such an easier place to start from in terms of finding your own peace in your own contribution. And even better, it's like we try to distinguish money from spirituality for some reason or from consciousness. But honestly, my experience has been that we can earn more when we're not so constrained by these masks and the lack of authenticity, you know? I think that if we could give people more opportunity to be themselves, to bring their full selves to the table, to not just hire them for what we want them to do. I mean, absolutely, that's how we, you know, run the world, or that's how we get, you know, things done. But then also create a space, a container for people to share their own gifts and their own talents. But we're not very patient. We're not patient with one another. And I think that's because we're not patient with ourselves. And so once we can tap into our own authenticity and our own love for self, then we can give it to others, kind of like you alluded to earlier. But yeah, I think it's because I worked at the executive level for so long, one of the things that I saw, what I was appreciated for the most, was that I don't know how to not tell the truth, you know? And so they might not have liked it, but they would always come and say, you know, Danica, just, you know, give us the hard truth. And so there's a space for that. And I just wish if I could tell any people in corporate America, like if you feel like you want to tell somebody how much you adore them, be authentic and tell them, like, life is too short. And when I was in Silicon Valley, I got to see how stressed out people were and just questioning, like, I could be home with my kids right now. And instead, I'm here with you. So I need you to give me value too, but there's no outlet for them to be themselves. So you've spent all this time not being yourself at work, and then you get to go home and be yourself. That's exhausting. Who wants to wear all those masks? It's exhausting. And so I'd say if we could have real conversations, we could do so much more, just so much more, and move the needle in a real way. I just got tired of so much, politics. And it's but there's so much we can do. And so, tapping into a new way of doing that and really enjoying it. Yeah.
I hear you loud and clear. You can see it in the language in business when people say things like it's mission critical. Most people are not doing any, very few people have a mission critical anything other than maybe military personnel and people building rockets and things of that, right? At that point, there's really some lives on the line. For most businesses, it's not always the case. And yet, people are so serious, right? Everywhere you go, so serious. These masks you're talking about. And you're right. A little levity goes a long way. It's not to say that people can't be professional and still get things done, but there's definitely a need for that culture to open up a little more. Like anything with time, things change. And my hope is a very similar hope to yours in that people can realize we don't need the farce in order to get results. Some people play the role of a leader because that's the position they're given, instead of just being a leader and leading people and creating the space and holding space for people to know they can take a risk and it won't be the end of their job, and then allowing them to grow and then giving you 10x because they've now grown and the output is higher. But all that, again, it's not only a policy change that needs to happen at a corporate level, and I think AI is going to change a lot of that, 100%, because many of the roles, which is the struggle, right? As I'm thinking out loud with you, the struggle is that there will be a huge disruption. Many people's jobs, per se, were possibly automated the entire time that job existed. And so it will be, because it's mundane, because it's something that is just repeatable. We just didn't have the compute for it yet, and now it's happening. It's going to be a very strange time, but I feel like you're already ahead of the curve with the work that you're doing because you're focused on those bigger, holistic, human aspects of business, which I think need to happen. The question of how much should we bring of the spirituality? Can we separate that from the individual in our everyday lives? And what does that do to us over the long period? All these questions that you're asking, that you're exploring through your practice and what you're doing in your organization, the community that you're building, all of these things will only become far more important as other things become automated, as the level of abundance at a baseline, and I imagine particularly in America leading the way right now, as that begins to change and take shape, what's left other than our humanity and understanding our place in it all? Right. So I do believe that this is a conversation to be having, especially now at the crux and at the beginning of the transformation of this new technological evolution that's taking place in business and society. It's already happening. Studios are already pulling back money because they're seeing what's happening. It's no mystery that anyone that's ever tried to fight technology always loses. Yeah. Right. So instead of going against the waves, asking these bigger questions that you brought up in our conversation today and sharing the work that you're doing about access, about sustainability, what does it mean, about corporate life and the faces we had to wear just to be a part of that. And very similar to the way we even got started with our own podcast, where I tried to tell you, hey, look, I don't want to start the podcast off by saying, hey, how are you doing today? And because it's the very same thing. Mm-hmm. What's the point of that dance? We all know that's not the real deal. It's the same way if we're going to ask somebody, how are you doing today? Mean it. Otherwise, don't ask. Nobody's going to get offended that you didn't ask, So I really love the energy that you were bringing today, inspiring authenticity, inviting people to think bigger, to consider the possibility of creating impact that they can see and feel And I imagine there's a website link or something of that nature that people can go to visit and learn more.
Yeah, it's just sustainableaccessfoundation.org. And I like how you landed. And here's one thing I would say about not fighting technology. And this is what I tell all my change makers. So first is like, let's return to ourself. And I want everybody to know this. Everyone, true power is, they're carrying it around with them every day. And we oftentimes look outside of ourselves. And so that's that access to self piece. That's your power. If you can figure out what your values are, figure out what your purpose is, stand in that, that'll help you get to that place of authenticity. But around technology, what I tell my students is, I love AI. I think it's fantastic. I think it makes my day so much easier. And let's not get caught up. So return to self. Know what you know and ask questions. Don't just get fed what everyone is telling you. And let's innovate for the sake of progress, not just efficiency. So if we're innovating, if we're spending all this time just to be more and more efficient, what is that doing? It means we have to work more. Means we have to work faster. Like that's a cog on the wheel that is not progress. That's not my definition of progress, right? So my definition of progress is that we're moving towards a better quality of life for more and more people. So we can't do that only with efficiency. So there has to be more. And so I guess when people are looking at how they're innovating, yes, use technology to augment your deeper questions about who you want to be in the world and how you want to contribute authentically. Yeah.
That's big. I actually don't think I've heard someone say it in that way yet. Yeah, but the difference between progress and efficiency, and you're right. Many an effort right now is driven towards efficiency. Efficiency models everywhere you look. I think actually the models are, because compute is so expensive technologically, we're focused, hyper-focused on efficiency. And that kind of energy built into the development of the models, is that being watched? And here comes your organizational psychology, right? Is that being watched for what the general outcome will be, if that's the case, and there isn't any intention behind how will this help progress for all of us? I think that's such an important point to highlight, and I'm glad that you brought that up. I want to roll out the red carpet for you. Outside of people going to sustainableaccessfoundation.org, was that the full URL? Okay. Outside of that, are you open or active on other channels, and do you want people to connect with you there?
I would love that. On Instagram, it's Sustainable Access Foundation. Facebook, same thing. Twitter X.
Yeah.
Whatever. So yeah, on all the major channels. Yeah.
I love it. No, I want to thank you so much for bringing the energy that you did today. I think it's a conversation that needed to be had. Many are stuck to bullet points and talking points, often without exploring the higher concepts at tow. And as we mentioned previously, just a little bit ago, about the importance of our humanity and how much it's going to come into the core focus of our daily lives as technology steps in. I'm glad that we had this conversation recorded and that it invites people to ask these questions. So Danica, is there anything else you'd like for the listener to know before we wrap things up here?
Yeah, I think my message that I love to carry forward is, if we can avail access to others, if we have been doing our thing and we've had the benefit of receiving grace and support from others, at a certain time, when you have sleep good money or, when you're self-actualized, turn around and just see what you can share with somebody else who needs that access too. And it doesn't have to be money. It could just be in the form of your time. Just turn around. Yeah.
Thank you so much.